Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and thank you for coming out on this beautiful day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. One's not in the bulletin, but after the sermon, we're going to have the ordination and installation of our elders and our deacons. So very excited about that. Annual Christmas party today, immediately following the service next door. And if you didn't know about it, don't worry about it. There'll be food. We've got ham and cupcakes and drinks and side dishes. Our children's sermon will be on December the 27th, and Carol Kane will be presenting that. If you'd like offering envelopes, there's some on the table in the back. If you want one and your name's not on it, you can talk to Carol Schreiber. Angel Tree donations are supposed to be in today. I'll let you know that so they can be delivered. And I believe the poinsettia sign-up sheet, I believe that's closed. That is closed. And a new contact update for Janice Wakely. And she's also looking for someone that can help her shop and help her with the bath. If you would like to know anything about it, you can talk to me about it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn 123, O come, O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We are grateful for this Christmas season. Forgive us when we fail to love you as you love. Forgive us for not treating others with mercy. Remind us that we are all equal in your eyes. Help us to understand that your grace extends to all who will accept it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Together as we recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're unsure of someone's name, ask them.
Remember the light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it.
Though sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning.
For all who face the sting of loss, God's words speak.
Though sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning.
For all who wrestle with the unknown of tomorrow, God's words speak.
Yes. sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning.
For all who battle the questions that arise in silence, God's word speak.
The sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning.
This morning we light 4 candles. The darkness of the life feels overwhelming. The first candle ignites our hope in God's unfailing truth. When the chaos of life seems all-consuming, the light of the second candle reveals the Prince of Peace. When humanity responds with senseless acts of hurtful words, the light of the third candle radiates God's command to love as we have been loved. The fourth candle reminds us that no matter what our circumstances, there is joy in the coming Christ who opens our eyes to the everlasting light. Throughout our Advent journey. As we move closer to the celebration of your birth, we sense the wonder and joy continue to break into the dark area of our world as you open our eyes to your hope, peace, love, and joy all around us. By your light, guide us as we walk in faith. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Responsive reading, the Messianic King, 634 in the back of your hymnals. There will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light.
You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder.
For as in the day of the enemy's defeat, you have shattered the yoke of burdens and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor.
Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
This time I'd like to invite the elder on the door to come forward with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kathy Sagi is asking prayer for her cousin Christine Gill. Christine is asking for continued prayer for healing. Also, she is looking for places closer in this way. So prayer that progress is made there. We have a praise request from the deacons for Jim Eichner for the donation of the lane cones outside. And then also Patty Hall had wrote this, and she asked me to read it all to you. She has a praise request, and she wanted to give thanks for the reason for this Christmas season. The tree to remember the cross, the lights and ornaments for his glory and what Jesus did on the cross for us, the star on top of the tree for Jesus' birth, an angel on the tree to remind us of the angel that told the shepherds about the birth of Jesus, the gifts we receive, we got the largest gift ever, the gift from God himself, Jesus, and the gift of salvation. Christmas is full of gift giving, so give yourself a gift and allow yourself to enjoy this Christian holy time. Not only this time of the year, but all year round to the fullest. Amen.
Before we pray, I just want to update you on a couple of things. Paul Kojerhook is still in St. Margaret's. They have figured out one of the things that's going wrong with him. Ammonia poisoning, not the ammonia that you would clean with, but from your system. So that was causing his shaking and his falling. Candy Binkert is now in West Penn for her rehab from her operation from diabetes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. It's a glorious one because you are with us as we celebrate on this fourth Sunday of Advent. We believe that you came into the world as a child, born in Bethlehem, a small town, and you grew to manhood, and you gave your life that we might have life. You ascended into heaven, and you are now seated at the right hand of power and glory, and we await your second coming in your power, in everything that you are, to reveal yourself totally and fully to the world. And your kingdom will be established forever. We thank you for every good thing that happens to us because we know that you love us. We're also mature enough to know that, yes, bad times and difficult situations come into all of our lives. It doesn't mean that we're being punished by you, but it's an opportunity for us to draw closer to you in prayer and study and fellowship and worship. Help us to be able to do that. So we lift all these prayers to you today and thanking you for hearing them and answering them. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A hymn of preparation, 121, The Word Made Flesh. Thank you. Thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the cross of Christ, for you coming into the world and into our lives and helping us find the peace that passes all understanding. You've given your church gifts for your kingdom, that the word might be preached, that prayers might be said, that gifts would be given, help would be offered, food, shelter, all the things that we try to do as the Church of God, not just the Glenshaw Valley, but worldwide. Thank you for caring about this world. Thank you for giving to us. And I thank you as pastor for everyone that uses the gifts that they have in your service. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth.
A question for you as we get started. How many of you grew up or have ever lived in a small town? Some of us. I was born in a town and raised about 3,000 people. So if you lived in a small town, you can identify with some of the lists that I'm going to start out with this morning. In a small town, when you're entering and leaving the city or the town, the city limit sign, these signs, entering and leaving, are on the same post. Your car breaks down outside of town, and news gets back to town before you do. Without thinking, you wave to all the oncoming traffic. A night on the town only takes 11 minutes. The local phone book only has one page. And this actually has happened to me before. You know you live in a small town when you call the wrong number and they offer to give you the right number. That has happened on more than one occasion. Well, you get the idea. Small towns often don't get much respect. And yet some of the best folks who ever lived came from small towns. Abraham Lincoln, generally acknowledged by many as the greatest United States president, hailed from Knob Creek, Kentucky, which was so small it no longer exists. President Jimmy Carter still lives in Plains, Georgia, with a population of 611 people. So you don't have to be a big city to produce a big person or a president. Of course, the greatest person who ever lived came from a small town, one of the unlikeliest places on earth. We read in Micah 5 these beautiful words, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel." These words were written 700 years before Caesar Augustus issued his decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, which of course Judah was. A census that required Joseph and Mary, his younger bride-to-be, to travel from their home to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the lineage and line of King David. Joseph went there to register for the census with Mary, who pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While there, they gave birth to his firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him, as the scriptures tell us, in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for any of them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appear with angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When angels had left the shepherds and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. The world did not know it, but all the truly important people on the earth were huddled in a stable that night, long ago in that tiny town outside of Jerusalem. In the world's estimation, the important people of the world were in Rome, Augustus Caesar, the Senate, all those rich people. But you and I now know better. The truly important people that night consisted of some humble shepherds and a young couple with their newborn son who had been forced to take shelter in the stable because there was no room for them at the inn. The baby born that night would forever change the world, as well as humanity's relationship with God, and it happened in a small town called Bethlehem. In August 1865, shortly after the Civil War, the parishioners of Holy Trinity Church sent their rector, Phillips Brooke, abroad for a year. His travels took him through Europe, and in December, took him to the Holy Land. There he traced the footsteps of Jesus southward and visited the scenes of the biblical narrative. And after 2 weeks spent in Jerusalem, Christmas Eve found him in Bethlehem at the birthplace of Jesus. Of his stirring emotions on that holy night, he later wrote to a Sunday school back in Philadelphia, and he said, I remember standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where many believed that Jesus was born. The whole church was ringing hour after hour with splendid hymns of praise to our God. It was as if I could hear angelic voices telling each other the wonderful night of our Savior's birth. 2 years later, in 1867, Brooks put his pen to paper and wrote these immortal words, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The prophet Micah, who first announced where Christ would be born, was a contemporary of the better known prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Christ's birth. God was speaking to both men of the one who would come. Micah foretold that there would come a ruler who will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth and will be our peace. The place where this ruler would be born, said Micah, is Bethlehem. His birth was announced to shepherds, the common man, but not to the religious elite or those with political clout. His cradle was a manger, a common animal's feeding trough, in a lowly, humble stable. You don't have to be rich to know him. You don't have to be well-known or popular to know him. You just have to be you. That Christ was born in Bethlehem, I believe, gives us confidence that God does want us to be his children. No matter how insignificant you may feel that you are, or how insignificant you may feel someone else is. A small town and a small baby. This is how Jesus Christ came to us. Not in a power sin of the world, not with pomp and circumstance, but in a stable populated by animals and straw. Pastor Matthew Rogers writes, when a new king is born, you can usually hear a military 21-gun salute. When a new king is born, flags billow and chapel bells peal loud and clanging music way into the night. When a new king is born, champagne corks stream through the air by the thousands. When a new king is born, people stand together and sing choruses in the street. When a new king is born, clouds of euphoria make millions of people feel like they are members of one harmonious family. At least that's the way one newspaper article says it was on June 21st, 1982, when at 9:03 the future king of England came into the world. We know him as William, Prince of Wales, born to Prince Charles and his young wife, Diana. This boy was a legitimate heir to the throne. He was a royal ancestry, born to be a king. But that's not the way it was when Jesus came in the world. It's difficult to imagine a birth more humble or lowly than the birth of Jesus Christ. Douglas Conley says, imagine coming upon a young woman giving birth in a city that's not her own. And you have to pull over into a dark, scary alley. Then you have a better understanding of the birth of Jesus Christ. A small town, a small babe, an entire world was saved. Frederick Bruner says, it's impossible to conceive how differently things would have turned out if this birth had not happened. Whenever, wherever, however it did, the birth of Jesus Christ makes it possible not just a new way of understanding life, but a new way of living life. The truth of this incarnation should never cease to amaze us. The mystery of the eternal, cradled in a manger, should cause wonder and grateful praise for every day of our life. Notice what Bruner says. The birth of Jesus made possible a new way of understanding life and made possible a new way of living life. Helmut Nostrand, a well-known Methodist pastor living in Austria, he tells of a Christmas Eve during the Nazi occupation when he was a very young child. His father was away, and so his mother gathered the children around to read the Christmas story and to pray. They could hear the soldiers outside their windows, marching up and down the streets, patrolling the curfew, and enforcing forbidding rules to worship any religious celebration. So they were very quiet. During the reading and praying, young Helmut kept wondering what his mother would do when it came time, as had been their custom, for the music. Poor as they were, they had a piano, which they used for services where his papa preached and his mama played the hymns. Mama loved the Christmas music, but surely the soldiers would hear the piano music and the singing. What were they to do? Well, when they finished the reading and praying, Helmut's younger sister asked, "Mama, are we going to sing?" With only a moment's hesitation, his mother answered, "Tonight we celebrate the coming of Christ's child into the world. He came that we might never be afraid anymore. Of course, we are going to sing." So she gathered her children about her, and they sang, "O come, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, come ye, O come ye, to Bethlehem." You and I don't have to sing in fear this morning. All fear has been taken away. Salvation has come, and eternal life is now our opportunity. And it all began in a small town called Bethlehem. May God bless you. Amen. A hymn of response, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," 141. Thank you. To remind you of our Christmas Eve service, candlelight service at 7 o'clock, and invite everyone that's able to stay today, go next door to McFadden Hall, we'll have a nice meal, and the first Sunday in January we will be having communion again, and you're invited to that. You do not have to be a member of our church. As you prepare to leave the sanctuary today on the fourth Sunday of Advent, I hope that you go with a sense of peace and joy, a song in your heart, thinking about your relationship with that baby that was born, who grew into adulthood and has become the Savior of the world. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.